Welcome everyone. My name is Dr. Kovacina. We're here at St. Mary's. So today we have a special guest in the back. So we're going to be filmed for the, it's basically for the faculty website. So then the students who are away on their rotations outside Montreal, they can access the lecture. Please come in. If I can just ask one of you guys to pull out a sheet of paper and just everyone can write their names so I know who is present. It can sometimes you can just pass it around and you can give it to me at the end. Another thing, if of course there's any questions or anything, please just stop me during my presentation and it's going to be a pleasure to answer your question. Good, so we're going to start right away. So today we're going to talk about the procedures that we do in family medicine. I mean, procedures in family medicine, it's very broad, so it's basically procedures that you can do in the office setting. Some of them also can be done in the hospital setting or in the emergency setting, so it's really in a very broad category of procedures. Since you're doing your 2 months family medicine, you're going to be exposed to a lot of these procedures on a daily basis. I don't know, you guys did probably already a month of rural medicine, yeah? Okay, so you probably had some experience in that. In the urban centers, you're going to be exposed as well to the procedures. You can have, as we have here, the family medicine center. When you have a big center, bigger clinic, you can have a clinic that's kind of concentrated really on procedures. So I think at the Herzl and here we have those clinics. I'm going to bring you down later on just to show you the procedure room. Okay, so what is the kind of instruments we use, what kind of procedures you can do there, and that's it. So just to start with first about me. So I have been practicing now for 3 years, graduated from McGill, graduated from family medicine program here. So I work at the unit here, also do some obstetrical work at the St. Mary's just next door. So follow-up of pregnancies and the deliveries. Also doing some pediatrics and newborn medicine at the Royal Vic and at the Children's. So you might see me there during your rotations as well. Also did some locuming around Quebec. So if you guys have any questions about the practice or anything you want to know, you can contact me and it's going to be a pleasure for me to answer your questions. Good. So for today, so we're going to get familiarized with a couple of procedures that are seen on a regular basis in the office setting in family medicine. So plantar wart removal, joint injections, IUD insertions, endometrial biopsy, breast lump biopsies, all these things that we can do in the office. First thing we're going to talk about, so it's a survey that was done in 2001. So basically it was a survey of all Canadian family physicians. It was sent to everyone. So about 50% replied. So we have like about 14,000 replies, which is a good idea, give us a good idea of a practice in Canada. And it was basically, they were asking all physicians about what kind of procedures they do in their office or in their daily activities. So the procedures that were done, you can see here. So first pap smears, it's done in 87%. A quick question, why do you think there is 12% of physicians who are not doing pap smears? Any ideas? Sorry?
They choose not to,
okay.
They see only children.
Okay, they see just a certain population, exactly. What else?
A second of the population goes to gynecologists.
Exactly. So this is kind of an older way to practice was to refer all gynecological exams and all gynecological primary care to gynecologists who were at the time doing really primary care gynecology. Right now, what we see is that all the primary care is really shifted to family medicine. So you, as a family doctor, you're expected to do your primary care gynecology to your patients, not to refer them to gynecologists. But like younger generation of doctors now, you see very rarely someone who's referring patients to gynecologists for just primary care. So that's something that's probably, you know, older physicians, people dealing with just certain, population probably were referring more than like a regular family physicians would do. Okay, so that's why there is a little discrepancy there. But in terms of other procedures, you can see so suturing mostly done in a walk-in setting or in emergency setting. Minor surgery, we're going to go into like what is minor surgery, but you can see the rest. So joint injections, skin biopsies, EKGs, IUDs, all these things are done, and the percentages of people who are doing them. So this is all going up as we put in place a kind of more standardized program for training as well. So right now the residents are expected through their residency program to complete and to be formed in all these procedures that are kind of considered as a part of their residency program. So most of the doctors right now who are finishing are trained in those procedures. Okay, but then again, after when you're in practice, it always depends on your kind of personal comfort and, you know, how many procedures did you do in the past? Am I comfortable with it again when I see it in the practice? So, of course, there's always going to be a bit of a difference. Okay. I put in red here the procedures we're going to talk about today. Okay, I'm not going to go into suturing because that one you'll have more in your surgery rotations. In terms of the minor surgery category that was there, so as you can see, these are the things that are done in more office setting or in a kind of a smaller procedure setting. So circumcisions, cosmetic surgery, which is considered like, you know, like injections, Botox injections, skin tag removals, things like that. So these are all the things that are done in the office setting. Cryotherapy, so it could be for medical reasons or for cosmetic reasons. Incision and drainage, lumps, bumps, biopsies, toenail surgeries, vasectomies, wound care, of course, acupuncture, so all these other things. A number of these things here are the things that are done in the on a daily basis in office settings, but which are not necessarily covered by the government. Like, you know, cosmetic things are not covered by the by your Medicare. So these things are usually an extra service that can be provided to the patient on like more like kind of an extra RAMQ service. Is there anything that's kind of surprising to you? No? Vasectomy, yeah. So these are all the little things that, you know, usually like no one is trained to do vasectomies in their program. You know, like these things are done more like on an elective basis, so for contraception. And these things are like, you know, you can pass the training for that and then you can do it on a daily basis if you have enough patients. Same goes with, you know, like varicose veins injections. You know, these are the things that you're not trained for, but you do two-day training for that, and then you can do it as a part of your, you know, outpatient clinic, cosmetic kind of clinic, that you can offer that to your patient as well. So a lot of these things is like they ask you for an extra training, especially those who are not covered by the RAMQ, then you're not expected to know that. But like things like dealing with, you know, incision drainage, biopsies, or, you know, cryotherapy, these things you're trained for, okay, kind of in your regular program. Too good. Anything else? No? Okay. So, I'm giving you here the reference. So this is the website of the New England Journal of Medicine. For the procedures, they have a great set of videos that go from office procedures, but also to hospital procedures. So you can have like a video, and it's usually on real patients, and like video on you know, going from intubation to central lines to more like office settings that we're going to be talking today. So it's very interesting. I'm going to show you one of the videos during the presentations, because they're very going step by step, and it's good for you to go over that, let's say, before you have a procedure clinic or before you have a certain rotation, to kind of go into it's always good to have a visual example before you see a patient in the real. Mm. Good. So we're going to start talking about the warts, okay, and how you treat warts, okay. What is the wart? Any ideas? You don't know what it is? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So basically a wart by definition is a viral infection of your skin, okay? Most of the time HPV, so attacking to your skin and then, you know, creating this outgrowth. Good. So that's one of the things. So how can you catch it? Sorry? No. How do you get it? How do you get the word? Sorry. So contact. Anything else? So usually it's you have like your skin barrier is disrupted, so you have a cut or something in your skin, and then you have the virus coming in and it outgrows. Okay. So what's the rationale behind like treating it?
Cosmetically, I'm feeling.
Okay. So how do you make the word go away? What are the options for treatment? Now you have two options here, huh? Sorry?
Doing nothing, it'll go away by itself.
Exactly. So one of the options is not doing anything. Like, I mean, it's always dependent also on the, you know, how long do you have it, how debilitating it is. Some patients are going to be, you know, sometimes on the pressure points on your foot, so it's going to hurt them every time they walk. So the things that you have to take into account. But it's a viral infection, so most of the time your body is going to take care of it. Now, what are the other medical treatment options? So you have two here, so using the duct tape, using the cryotherapy, anything else? Mm-hmm. So using other products like salicylic acid. Sorry? Antiviral cream. Usually, those are not used for the warts. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because anything else before? I'm just going to come back to that. Yeah, exactly. So this is cryotherapy. Okay. So three, four options available. What is the mechanism of action when you try to treat a wart? What are you trying to do? Kill the infected cells? Okay. Kill the virus. How do you kill the virus? Like, I mean, ultimately, you don't kill it really with the duct tape, right? So how do you kill it? You need basically your own immune system to kill the virus, right? So how do you expose the virus to your immune system is through killing the cells. Like, you break the cells, and then the virus is spilled, and then you have your system attacking it, right? That's the logic behind, let's say, using the cryotherapy. You're trying to destroy the cells. So then your immune system is in contact with the virus. Okay? What is the idea behind using the duct tape? Exactly. Okay. So for the wart to grow, the wart needs oxygen. Okay? That's why the wart is always on the exposed areas. It's never inside somewhere, right? So the wart needs oxygen. So you, by covering it, by creating the barrier with the oxygen, you're gonna have those cells dying, and then the virus is not gonna be able to multiply. Okay. So you see, there's different ideas behind what do we do with the wart. By applying the antiviral cream, it might not work just because the virus is really in the cells. Okay, the virus is not outside floating around. I mean, there is some, of course, on the skin, but what's the most dangerous is the virus that's inside the cells, and that's why you have this outgrowth of the cells, like normal skin cells, but filled with virus. Another thing, how do you differentiate between the virus and just, let's say, thickened skin on the foot or something? What do you do? Let's say you have someone coming, I'm hurting here, I have a little hardened place, I don't know what it is, there is a spot there that's hurting. How do you differentiate between the wart and just, So what you usually do is, when you look at the wart, you look for blood vessels, right? Everyone seen that before? So you look at the vascularization, okay? Because what's going to happen is that the wart will create blood vessels going towards the to get the nutrients, right? So you're gonna see little black dots, okay, when you try to shave off the wart. Okay, that's basically the new capillaries that are formed inside. Okay, if you shave it and you just see homogeneous keratin, like just clear, like yellow, dark brown, well then it's most probably not the wart. with the word you need to have blood vessels. Okay? Yeah.
What do you use the shave for?
Just a regular scalpel, mm-hmm. Like a blade. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to show you the instruments we use. So when you see the picture here, which we can't really see, but anyways, if you really remove the first layer of the wart, you're going to see those little blood vessels. You see little dots. Okay? And that's one of the one of your kind of diagnostic features of your wart. Okay? So, this study here, this is just one of the multiple studies that were done. I think you are shown another study in your, I don't know which class, but always someone tells me about that study that also compared cryotherapy with duct tape, I think, which is another study, but I'm showing you this one just to have another perspective, which is basically what they did is that they tried to determine, okay, what's the most efficient way, okay? Is it the duct tape or the cryotherapy, okay? So they did a study in a pediatric setting, an adolescent setting. They had about 61 patients and 51 completed the study. So they randomized the patients. You had a group with duct tape, a group with the cryotherapy. Outcome was, of course, a complete resolution of wart. So what's interesting is that the cryotherapy, they applied it for a maximum of 6 treatments, and duct tape was there for 2 months. So something to keep in mind. And then the results showed that there was a higher resolution rate with the duct tape compared to the cryotherapy. Okay. So, the study that you were shown before, I think last year, showed that the cryotherapy was more efficient. So there's a lot of data, one against each other. What's important to remember for you guys is that when you have a patient coming in, you have to discuss with the patient and see what's going to happen. Okay, is the patient going to be compliant if you need to, let's say, apply a duct tape? So if it's a summer month, we're wearing all sandals, is the patient truly going to apply the duct tape? Is the duct tape really going to stay on? So that's one of the things that you have to consider. Same thing with cryotherapy. Is the patient going to come back for the cryotherapy treatment? Is it worth it, you know, to start a treatment period over next, let's say, couple of weeks? Is the patient be coming back for the treatments? So these are all the things that you can discuss with the patient. Again, the products that they can use over the counter as well, salicylic acid, the band-aids with the medication, which is also with salicylic acid, with the little round band-aids that they can also apply to the wart. Can they try that before they come to see you for the regular treatment with cryotherapy? This is also something that you have to discuss. But there's no definite treatment that it's taking away, like that it's going to make the wart go away. Okay, a lot of these results as well are I wouldn't say false, but you know, a lot of the warts will disappear by themselves. So in these results, how many, you know, of these results are influenced by the rate of just spontaneous resolution as well. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. So that's why the study that's going to show us the best technique is not going to be 100% right just because of the spontaneous resolution. Okay, so you discuss it with your patient. You see how the debilitating that is, how like aesthetic, on the aesthetic side as well, and then you try to discuss with them what's the best option for them. Okay, what is the side effect of using cryotherapy? Pain. Anything else? So the what you're using with cryotherapy is, what you're doing with the cryotherapy is really destroying the cells. So what is the danger? So infection, because you're losing the barrier, right? Anything else?
Scarring.
So if you have a big burn, you can have a scar. The one that we see most commonly is really blistering, and it's going to affect the normal skin around the wart. Okay, so if you apply it and the area of application is, let's say, bigger than the wart itself, then this normal skin around it is going to be affected, and you can have like a second degree burn from it. You know, so that's why it's important as well to inform the patient about the possible side effects. Okay. Good. Okay, so basically what we suggest in practice to patients it's to first of all hygiene, okay. Second of all, when you try to put any kind of treatment, so be it you know, over-the-counter preparations or cryotherapy, you need to make the skin as soft as possible, especially for the plantar wart where the skin is very thick. So you try to macerate the skin, you try to soak it, you try to remove the extra layers. So you can use the stones. You can also use the scalpel in your office to remove the extra skin that you have. And then when you have, you know, as close contact as you can to the wart, then you apply your treatment. Okay, so this is the idea behind it. You can use the same idea, same approach to duct tape use as well. So make it as clean as possible, as thin as possible, and then you apply the duct tape over it. Okay, so this is something that's applicable to all patients. Okay, any questions for this? No. Okay, so everyone knows how to treat the wart. Good. So now we're just going to go down for maybe 10 minutes. I'm going to show you the procedure room. It's just down, it's below this room. And we're going to see how to use the cryotherapy. Any of you have used it before? Yeah? Perfect. So you're going to show us. Okay.